For years, hundreds of old cassette tapes sat in a storage locker in Houston, Texas. What they held was, frankly, fabulous.
We're now crossing over Dunleavy, and who's that cute man? That one and that one. I'll take either one of them, Charlie. Yeah.
That live coverage of a pride parade was broadcast in the 1980s on a radio show for LGBTQ people. It started airing in Houston in the 1970s. The programming lasted more than three decades. This unique audio history is now online. NPR's Netta Ulaby has more.
Even archivist Emily Vinson at the University of Houston says this project, for some people, may come as a surprise.
Houston is not maybe the first place you think when you think LGBTQ history. You think maybe New York or San Francisco, but a lot was happening here. I mean, you can imagine what it meant to be on the radio in 1977 identifying as a gay person.
Here is a Black activist on the air in 1979, Larry Bagnaris, grew up in the Jim Crow South. He reflected on the evolution of the gay rights movement.
And what you see now is a cross-section of Chicanos and Blacks and even Vietnamese in the bars, in the political organization.
On that same broadcast, you'll hear an interview with the former manager of the Stonewall Inn in New York City. 10 years after the famous Stonewall riots, Tony Lozada was running a gay bar in Houston.
I run a clean club. I don't allow any dope. Yeah. I don't allow any sexual things happening in our place, and I don't allow drag queens to come in. Which I'm friendly with everyone. It's just that I'm trying to run a legit club where I don't have any problems like I had in New York. I don't want another Stonewall.
For how much? These are two boxes, but there's probably...
In the university library, Vincent and her co-archivist, Bethany Scott, have digitized over 3,000 fragile cassette tapes.
Okay, so there's 30 years...
of several LGBTQ shows that aired on and off on the Pacifica station KPFT. They believe around 8,000 people listened to the shows in the 1990s, long before the internet was widespread.
Telephone number for the Gay Hispanic Caucus is 868.
So a guy would read the contact information for local groups, sometimes for nearly 10 minutes of airtime.
Gay Fathers, which meets at 3217 Fannin.
These tapes were lent by some of the surviving people who made these radio programs and a local community archivist who saved them in boxes.
This one that I grabbed out of the box is like live coverage of a pride parade.
Look at this, Jimmy. Isn't this fabulous?
From 1989.
Hi, baby. That was a nice kiss.
Thank you. Thank you.
On parade day.
Happy Gay Pride Day.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
The hosts, Jimmy Carper and Buddy Johnston, clearly relished giving a vicarious pride experience to people who were too afraid or just unable to attend. So why deprive them of the fun of flirting outrageously with other people at the parade?
Hey, are you marching or are you just watching?
I'm just strutting.
Woo! Kids, I wish you could see what just walked out. What?
Whoa, I mean...
I don't think he can march.
That's a big daddy.
He's one of the Lone Star nudists.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know the man.
I'd like to... Never mind.
Yes, I'll bet.
Over decades, the radio shows took listeners from protests to parties to politics through the AIDS crisis and the rise of LGBTQ civil rights.
In the 90s, still in Texas, there were anti-sodomy laws, and in Houston, there was an anti-cross-dressing ordinance.
That was repealed, says Emily Vinson, in 1980. Back then, you could get fired for being openly gay. You could lose your housing, your children. The threat of violence was real.
It was a very brave act to appear on the show, I think, especially in the early years.
It was also brave to go on these Houston gay radio shows in the early 1990s when this passed for a supportive, trans-friendly interview.
You do not look like a man in a dress.
I'm not.
Sarah DePalma was a Houston transgender activist who started off schooling her own community.
I used to pray for lightning to come down and correct me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew... Oh, I guess I was 8 or 9 years old. I knew I should have been a girl. There was never much question that I should have been a girl. Mm-hmm. It was somebody upstairs thought it was a cosmic joke, I guess.
This is a part of the city and of my community that I just never knew.
Andrea Hong is 20 years old. As a student at the University of Houston, her job was to help digitize these old cassette tapes. She was thrilled to learn about Houston's Asian American LGBTQ activists out and behind the mics a decade before she was born.
Hi, I'm Carl Han. I'm the secretary for Asian and Friends.
And to hear their voices on an LGBTQ radio show when that was one of the few ways queer people could learn about their own communities.
Hopefully, there are young Asian teenagers right now listening to this show at the very lowest volume possible for fear of their parents finding out. That's how I discovered Montrose community at the age of 15. I hit upon a KPFT one night, and I turned it down real low so no one can hear it.
And this is 90.1 FM, KPFT in Houston.
It was not just closeted teenagers whose lives were changed by KPFTs, says archivist Emily Vinson. When I asked about episodes she found especially memorable, she said, this one.
Buddy is reading a letter written by a man from San Francisco who had just like happened to catch the show when he was in Houston.
So, dear friends, last week I was visiting Houston. I turned on the radio at 3 a.m.
The letters from 1989.
And to my amazement, I heard your program recalling the history of gay liberation.
We'll let KPFT host Buddy Johnston read the rest of it.
That voice of enlightenment in a city famous for its homophobia was very thrilling for me. You have my highest praise for your courage. I've now reached the age of 60. My early years were grim, hopeless, and suicidal. If people like you had dared to speak out as role models, my life would have been positive and creative. Please do not give way to despair or burnout. It's so very important for those who are out there and haven't found their voices yet. My thanks and my love, signed Alan Blackman. So, Alan Blackman in San Francisco, my dear, this program is just for you.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming out of queers. Homophobes have trampled on our rights. They've done so out of fear.
You just get a sense for what it meant to the listeners to have someone there to share an experience that was oftentimes very difficult.
Emily Vinson, archivist.
The most amazing thing is that they understood how important it was and they saved it, because radio is not the kind of thing that just gets saved by itself.
No, it sure isn't. And neither are the hard-fought accomplishments of these people in Houston, Texas. They endure not only in the civil rights and social acceptance of the LGBTQ people who follow them, but in their lively, funny, determined voices, preserved now online. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.